Blog Talk
Welcome
Radio.
To another week. Welcome to another week of D-Zone Radio. Your host today, again, Evan Papuda here, and Brandon Hunter is here too. Brandon, how are you doing? Brandon, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm sorry. I'm doing really good.
Welcome to another week of D-Zone Radio. We've got a fun-filled show for you today. After a great week of high school football, we're going to be joined by three student section leaders throughout the week, and we're going to talk about their progress in the WAR ranking of the D-Zone student sections across the state. We're going to be joined by Alex Menholt of Rochester Adams, Jordan Yaldo of West Bloomfield, and Ryan Mastilli of Stony Creek. That will be in a few minutes, but first we're going to talk about the two games we went and saw this week. Brandon, did you go to two games or just one?
I went to three games this week. Thursday,
three
Friday.
Games. Well, we'll start with you. We'll start with you. Which games did you attend? I know you went to King and Central, Detroit Central yesterday.
Thursday I went to South Lake, Madison Heights, Madison. That was a really good game. South Lake poured it out. 54-28. It was much closer than that, but you know, towards the end, South Lake just reared off a couple touchdowns. But that was a really good conference game for South Lake. Good win for them.
And what about Friday? Where were you at Friday?
Friday, I went to Ole Loyola. That wasn't much of a game. I forgot the final score, but Loyola Ole won pretty good. Rayshon Allen, he had a pretty big game. Junior running back. Had 150-something yards rushing, two touchdowns. So, yeah, that was a good game for them. And then yesterday I went to Central and King, 39-6 King way, dominated the whole game basically.
Orchard Lake St. Mary's did defeat Detroit Loyola 35-14 in a game that Orchard Lake St. Mary's needed more than anything else coming off of a loss to Dakota in week one. And – Loyola, how did Loyola look? Because that's a team that we expect to make a deep run in D7.
They're not as talented as previous years. Got one of their defensive backs actually playing the quarterback position. So, I mean, kind of depleted as far as talent goes, what they're used to. But, you know, very athletic. But, you know, just couldn't match up front with what Olake had up front. That was a difference maker up in the trenches. They should be able to still do good.
One question I have for you is, how is that Orchard Lake offense looking without K.J. Hamler?
Oh, man. The passing game is basically non-existent. Not like they passed the ball a lot, but it was much more explosive the past 3 years with K.J. Hamler in it. But they don't really have that person on the outside who's a real threat. Kyron Cunningham might be that guy, but, you know, he's no K.J. Hamler. And just no one to throw the ball. You know, but the running game, obviously, you know, Ole gonna run the ball, but the passing game is almost non-existent.
And that's a shame. For those of you that don't know, K.J. Hamler transferred to the IMG Academy in Florida. Brandon Hunter wrote a great article about the idea of transfers. Brandon, if you want, you can tweet that out for those that don't know. But the shame we were mentioning is K.J. Hamler did tear his ACL, and I believe it was IMG's first game, and is out for the year. So
we certainly missed him
in Michigan.
Yeah, definitely.
Not a better guy.
Speed recovery.
Yeah, and we hope he gets to go where he wants to go. I know he's got an Oregon offer, which when we covered him here was the offer he always wanted, as well as he does have both Michigan and Michigan State. So is Rayshon Allen, is he the real deal? Is people legitimately looking at him, the 2018 running back?
Yeah. He has at least a Temple offer and a couple Ivy League offers. He's legit, you know, 5'9", 190. He's short but thick, you know. And, you know, we compared him to Emmitt Smith. I know that's a lot, but you see him running. He wears number 22. He's like Emmitt Smith. You know, he's small, a tough runner, and he's going to get those yards. He doesn't go down at that first point of attack, you know. So he's legit for sure.
Okay, and right now we're going to be joined by Alex Menholt from Rochester Adams High School. And Alex, how are you doing today?
How's it going?
Good. Thanks for coming on and spending your Sunday with the D-Zone. So tell us a little about Rochester Adams student section this year. How are they looking?
Well, we got the hardest working boys on the field and the best support system anyone could ask for up in the stands. So we love getting out there every Friday and showing our support for the boys.
So far, Rochester Adams currently is in first place on the D-Zone's WAR rankings for student section. So how are you guys able to get so much involvement in your school and so creative with your ideas for the section on game night?
Well, we really couldn't thank the fans enough for coming out. We get 100-plus fans every night in the zone, and we still got all four home games ahead of us. A big key to all of our success is our tailgates. We have our own Snapchat filter. We're ordering our own T-shirts. We got 125-plus shirts ordered already. We have our own funding, actually. I'll shout out some of our sponsors right now. Chipotle on Tuesday, September 20th. Come to your local Chipotle and support the Rochester Adams student section. We get 50% of all proceeds on that day. Auto Europe has written us a check, and we've gotten funding from our own school. So we really appreciate all the support from everyone around town, and we love to see it keep going.
And I want to ask this. I saw a picture of your section. How many people do you think you have out on an average game night?
Well, the thing is we've had two road games, and they've both been major turnouts. Our first one was at Rochester. I'd say you're looking at about 150 people, but I'd like to invite all of our listeners right now to come out this Friday to our tropical game at Adams against North Farmington. I'm looking for 200-plus people. It's gonna get tropical. It's gonna get rowdy.
And one thing that, again, we're being joined by Alex Minault from Rochester Adams, the current number one team in our student section rankings. How are you guys able to spread the word in your first two games before school and being on the road?
Well, social media is a big part of our that. We have a Snapchat. We Run the Rock. Follow us there. We have a Twitter, also We Run the Rock, follow us there. 1,000-plus followers on our Twitter. We really like to spread the word, and pretty much people just know. It's been a tradition at Adams to carry out a high profile with the student section. So for people to just know that we're tweeting out SSS, the D-Zone, every time, every halftime, every Friday, it's a tradition here.
So you guys still have 7 weeks of the regular season left to hold on to number one spot. You've got West Bloomfield and Stony Creek chasing you. They're going to be on with us in a little bit. How do you guys plan to keep your number one ranking?
Well, against Stony Creek, that shouldn't really be a problem. We got them our homecoming game later on this year, and that's a home game. So I think the football will do the talking there once we get the dub. But with West Bloomfield and the others chasing us right on our tail, I think that all of our efforts with our extracurricular festivities, the props will have creative themes, unique chants, everything that we do in the student section that make us Highlanders, I'm sure we'll
be
able to keep
this
number one spot.
Before we let you go, Alex, tell us a little bit about your football team real quick. How are they doing?
Well, right now we're 2-0. We just completed a great dub against Seaholm this past Friday, 27-0. Our defense is really carrying our weight pretty strong here, and we've got a lot of four-year varsity players, which is a key part. Experience is one of the best things that we can carry, one of our best attributes. So the boys are working hard. They've been working hard all summer, and they deserve a good student session to cheer them on every Friday.
All right, that's Alex Minault from Rochester Adams. Thank you for joining us on the D-Zone Radio. And now we are joined by Jordan Yaldo of West Bloomfield. Jordan, welcome to the D-Zone Radio.
Hi, glad to be here.
How are you doing? Thank you for joining us on a Sunday morning.
That's cool, man. How are you doing today?
I'm good. So tell us a little bit about what makes your student section at West Bloomfield so unique and different yourself from other schools.
Well, basically, West Bloomfield is one of the top student sections in the State of Michigan. We're back-to-back-to-back winners of the Student Section Wars. We have a huge Twitter fan base. We show up at games. We're loud. We get rowdy. And we support our football team.
And how has your turnout been this year? I have seen pictures of your section. It looks like you guys got a pretty good group of people. How are you able to get people to show up before school starts?
You know what? Just we tweet it out. We text people. We get big groups. We get a carpool system going. We try to make sure we can get everybody there so we can be the loudest ones there.
And how do you impact your team during the game with your cheers?
Well, you know, especially when the other team makes a mistake, we make sure our team and their student section knows it. We just try to be loud, get them hyped up, especially after a big play, you know, make them feel good about themselves so they keep on doing them.
Are you guys able to see the impact on the field at all by a big first down or touchdown by the West Bloomfield Lakers?
Yeah, I mean, like on Friday night when we were at Oxford, every third down we usually, you know, every third down when our defense is playing, we usually get really, really loud, and they usually get really big stops, especially this one play that saved the game for us in the end with an interception by Nick Seidel.
And tell us a little about your West Bloomfield football team. Who do we need to know about out there before we let you go?
Well, we got a big quarterback, Bryce Beasley. He's outstanding, and he's got a great arm. We got Nick Seidel. He's an outstanding all-around player. He had 10-plus tackles and two interceptions against Oxford. We got Garrett Wynn, who will always be outstanding on the offensive side of the ball. Davion Johnson, he will break through anybody. Our team is just all-around great. We lost a lot of players last year, a lot of seniors, but we've definitely made up for it through transfers and all that.
All right, Jordan Yaldo of West Bloomfield, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And lastly, we have on the phone Ryan Masilli from Stony Creek. Ryan, welcome to the D-Zone Radio.
What's up, guys?
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. So you guys did really well in our first week of rankings, and you're expected to do really well in week two. How do you organize your teams to get everybody on the same page?
Well, before the season started, we sat down and we knew that this year we wanted to get everyone incorporated into the core. That's what we call our student section. What we do when we send out tweets, and actually one of our core leaders, he was a freshman mentor, so he really got all the freshmen at the game too. So we like to incorporate every grade into our student section. So we have everyone from seniors to freshmen getting rowdy. So
how are you guys able to get kids buying in that may not normally go to a football game or may not stay the whole time if it wasn't for a student section?
Well, all of our chants, we try to get everyone to do what. Well, usually that in all student sections, as you'll see, the back of the student section usually is the younger kids and the more quiet kids. But what we do when things are getting down in the game and kids aren't chanting as loud, we usually run back up there and start getting people going. And that will really start to give everyone into the game. And even when we're down, even when we were down the first week, we still got everyone going to the game, and everyone was still having a good time. So that's what we just try to do.
And who do we need to know about at Stony Creek? How's your season going so far?
Well, we got a sweet tight end in Brady Campbell. He had a sweet touchdown catch for Slake Orion last week. He's the backbone of the Stony Creek squad. Our starting quarterback, Frank Potenza, he's only a sophomore. He started his freshman year. He's got a great arm. He has got great offensive ability. And then on the defensive side, we have Victor Van Allman. He's our middle linebacker, and he really leads the way in the defensive side. He's always in the play. He's always making great tackles.
All right, that's Ryan Masilli of Stony Creek. Thank you for joining us on the D-Zone Radio, and we look forward to following student section rankings throughout the year. Please tweet us at the D-Zone on the Twitter, at the D @Bryce_zone. If you guys have a picture at your school and you want to showcase your school, tweet it at us. So, Brandon, we're going to be joined by Reggie Pearson of River Rouge at 1150. He committed to Wisconsin a week ago. Tell us a little bit about his game, what you saw against Chelsea in the Prep Kickoff Classic.
Oh, he a thumper, man. About 5'11", close to 200 pounds. He might be 200 pounds. I mean, he's a thumper. I think Wisconsin is the perfect fit for him. You know, Big Ten offer, Big Ten school. We had a big win against LSU yesterday. So I definitely get instilled in Reggie. You know, a ball hawk, you know, come down in the box and tackle. A really solid player, really good kid in the classroom as well. So they're getting a good one in Pearson.
Yeah, they certainly are. I've seen him on the camp circuit, and he's got a good coach, Corey Parker, to lead him to where he wants to go.
Great family as well.
But before – great family. Before we talk to Reggie in about 5 minutes, Brandon, do you want to expand upon your game against Detroit King over Detroit Central? I want to ask you, how good did King look, and are they near what they were last year and title contenders once again in Division Two?
I think they are. You know, you can say, oh, they lost Donnie Corley, Posey, and LeVert Hill. You know, two of those guys was playing college football yesterday. You know, Posey redshirted this year, though, but he'll be playing next year. But, you know, that's a lot to lose. But it's a program thing. They just reload, and they got a lot of babies over there, and they're 2-0 right now. Only gave us 6 points on the year through two games. And the King is legit, you know. I think they're legit, and these next 3 weeks are going to be easy wins for them, I will predict. And the test will come when they have Cass on October 1st, and they got East Ingers on the 8th, you know. So, you know, I think they're good, but we're really going to see what they're made of when they play those two schools.
All right. So that'll be one team we must watch moving forward in the Division II title tilt. One team that might be their opponent at Ford Field is a team that I went and saw now 2 weeks in a row, and that is Waldblake Western. They beat Farmington at Michigan Stadium last week very easily, and then this week they traveled to play Canton, and I was out there, and they beat Canton 33-30 on a game-winning drive that with less than a minute left that Cody White, the Michigan State commit, led down the field. And for those that don't know Cody White, you guys need to go look up his highlights. He is the real deal. He's been playing quarterback in for Johnny Tracy, the transfer from Brother Rice, who's been injured. But Cody White, if you were to look and know he's a college player, you would never know he's not a college quarterback. He reminds me a little bit of Tristan Jackson at West Bloomfield last year, playing quarterback in high school, but playing over at receiver in college. But Waldblake Western is the real deal. Cody White is the real deal. And Canton is now 0-2. And that's something that nobody saw coming. But before we get to Reggie Pearson, we want to talk about – who is it?
Oak Park, 0-2.
Oak Park's 0-2, too. So those are two surprises that people didn't necessarily see coming. Other results from this week – Dearborn beat Belleville 15-0. That's a surprise to me. Utica Eisenhower beat Macomb Dakota on the road.
Man.
Detroit Catholic Central went on the road to beat Toledo Whitmer, which is a big win for the Shamrocks. Lowell beat Rockford. And then Muskegon lost a tough one, 38-35 to Lincolnshire Stevenson of Illinois. If you listened last week, you heard Khalil Pimpleton, Virginia Tech commit of Muskegon, telling us about that game, previewing it. But Muskegon will bounce back, no doubt about that. But, Brandon, did you happen to catch any of the college football games yesterday and seeing the former Michigan high school players playing?
I did not. I didn't catch the early game. I was actually covering a football game. But I did see some highlights. And, you know, it was good to see Mike Weber go over 100 yards rushing. Delano Hill get that pick six. Donnie Corley caught his first ball. So, you know, it was good to see the kids that you covered in high school have some success early in the college level.
Mike Weber did rush for 136 yards in Ohio State's 77-10 win over Bowling Green. Also started at left guard, Michael Jordan, true freshman from Plymouth for Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
and paved the way. He played pretty much the whole game. But for Michigan, Delano Hill had that almost 50-yard pick six, and then also playing two true freshmen, as Brandon mentioned before, LeVert Hill got in the game in the fourth quarter. He didn't play a whole lot, but he was in there and solid for Michigan. But one guy, before we get to Reggie Pearson, he's on the line, that I want to give credit to is Big Michael Onwenu. He played on both sides of the line, which is very unheard of in this day and age. Without further ado, we will be joined by Reggie Pearson, the Wisconsin commit of River Rouge. Reggie, welcome to the D-Zone Radio.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us on your Sunday morning. So first off, I want to ask, what made you commit to Wisconsin, and what made you do it so soon? You're only a junior.
Really, because I felt like it was the best school for me. My family like it. When I took them down there, I like it. Good academic school, has my major, and they win games, and I know I wouldn't go out there as a boy and come out as a boy. I'm going to go there as a boy and come out as a man.
And what's appealing about their defense? I know you must be happy they held Leonard Fournette to just about as few yards as he could get, and they played really well. And their secondary intercepted the LSU quarterback, Brandon Harris, to seal the game yesterday.
I feel like it was more of a culture. I think Coach Leonard is a good coach. So he teaches guys to not, like, when the play is going bad and when it's not like a 40-round play and when we're in scramble, I know they talk to the man just a little bit. But I feel like it's more of coaching, and I feel like he's going to create players to become playmakers.
Hey, Reggie, you know, you talk about a coach at Wisconsin. This is B. Hunt, by the way. But you talk about the coach at Wisconsin. Talk about your coach at River Rouge, because I've seen the video, you know, of Coach Parker, like punching and jabbing. Just speak about that moment and what type of coach he is.
That man is a great coach. He's very energetic. He is young, and he accomplished a lot when he's young. And so that gives us, like, a relate feel that he's young, so we get to kind of see his younger side and his older side at the same time. And I know that he's doing it for the best of us, and he want to make sure it's not always about winning. He want to make sure do we develop at the end of the day.
And one question I have for you, Reggie, is a guy that Brandon has tweeted about when you guys beat Chelsea, tight end for you, Lee Payton. What can you tell us about Lee Payton?
He's my best friend, so he's pretty good. He's not a regular player that you can go to any high school and find. He's 6'3", 215. Kid runs 4.6. Like, you're not about to find that.
And defensively for River Rouge, I know you guys shut out Ann Arbor Huron this past week. I know it won't count in the stat calendar, but what are you guys doing well so far by being able to play two defensively solid games in a row to start your year?
I think that defense pretty much is our stronghold, but that's what we just do best. We got a lot of D1 players that people don't see, but I know there could be D1 players, and we just all play as a family. We just make plays.
All right, that's Reggie Pearson, Wisconsin commit, defensive back for River Rouge. Thank you for your time, Reggie.
No problem.
That's a well-spoken young man, Brandon. I think he's really going to fit in well with Wisconsin.
Me too.
And those Wisconsin corners, the Wisconsin cornerbacks really gave guys like Trevon Darrell and LSU receivers trouble yesterday in that game, and I think he'll be well coached there and get to continue where he left off and get to be that prototypical DB. But I want to talk about next week. We've got some good games on the slate before we really get into the meat and potatoes of the season where it's all conference games. But a couple games that caught my eye, and Brandon, feel free to add on if you've got another one, but I see Belleville and Dearborn Fortson. Dearborn Fortson's really good. They're 2-0, and then Belleville's coming off the loss to Dearborn, so that's one to watch. I don't think they're going to lose two in a row. Clarkston's going to play Oxford. That'll be two good teams looking to get back on the right track. And then west side of the state, you've got East Kentwood and Hudsonville. East Kentwood's got two 2019 guys, Logan Brown and one other guy that are being looked at heavily. And then the one that caught my eye, the biggest game of the week, is Marine City and Detroit Loyola. Those are two teams that are really good, have a chance to win a state championship in their own right. And then Wald Lake Western and Northville, both 2-0 teams. What do you think, Brandon?
Yeah, those are all good games. You know, maybe a city game, Central versus East English. Another good test for Central. See how good they are. See where East English is really at. You know, came off a big win against Pershing. A little bit tougher test against Central, I would say. So that's a game in the city to watch for.
What can you tell us about Detroit Central? Because I know the score didn't show it, but from what I heard, they gave King some trouble early on in the game, and they might not have been able to keep up, but they look like a solid team.
They do, and I like the offense. Kevin Rogers, my guy, shout out to him. You know, he's implemented that offense and that hurry-up offense there, a little bit more structured than it was last year. Juju Jordan throwing the ball. I know Michigan State recently contacted him. Good size quarterback, and they got a little receiver, Darius Atkins, little firebug, you know, 5'7", but 4'4 speed, and good in the return game. So they got a couple athletes. You know, I think the future is bright for them. A little bit overmatched yesterday against King, obviously, you know, but the future is bright. They should do some damage in the PSL outside of the big three.
And what games are you going to be at next week? You got an idea yet, or are you still going to try to figure that out like I am?
They're honoring Coach Harvell at King. They're honoring him, so I'm going to go to that game for a little bit. And I thought about going out to Belleville to see that Fortson game, so that might be the one on the schedule. Hopefully I can beat traffic. But
well, let's preview that game. You want to talk about Belleville before we finish the show up?
I haven't seen them at all, but I hear they're small. That's what someone told me. You know, a lot of great athletes, but maybe not, you know, like a little small on the line. So it's going to be a tough game for them against Forreston. You know, Forreston is really good. You know, they came back and beat Canton. So it's going to be a good game. I'm excited to see Belleville players in the actual game and not the camp setting.
Yep, and that's big. We've talked about this in the past in person, via text, phone, Twitter. And that's the bottom line in high school football. It's great if you can perform in shorts and a T-shirt in a camp in May or June, but can you perform in September, October, when the lights come on and it gets a little bit colder? But one guy for Belleville that's not small is the offensive lineman, Devontae Dobbs. He's going to be able to go wherever he wants to. He looks all the markings of a good college offensive lineman. And one other guy that's caught my eye is Julian Barnett, a 2019 receiver. He looks like he's the real deal. He looks like he could be in the same boat and be able to go wherever he wants. And then Dearborn Fortson is going to be led by their quarterback, Hamzi Al-Zayat, who really is just an average height guy, not too big, but he's shifty, he's kind of quick, and he can really throw the ball. And he said it after they beat Canton, about his receivers. They were throwing to 5-6 guys throughout the ball game, and he said it perfectly. He said you don't need to have 6'3", Division I, top-end guys to win games. You just need to have a system that works, coaches that can teach you it, and players to make the plays when it's time to make plays, and that's one thing they did really well against Canton.
All right.
So I would like to see that game as well. I would say that Dearborn Fortson is going to come out on top, but it's a road game. It's at Belleville, so you never know how games like that turn out.
Right.
All right, Brandon. Thank you for another great week of the D-Zone Radio. Thank you for those that listened. And we will see you back here, same time and place, next Sunday morning, 11:30 to noon.